Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays are for football. That's why we're here to help you get your next DIY project done, even when the clock isn't on your side. Whether that's a new Filtrete filter or Bosch and Cobalt power tools, Lowe's has everything you need to feel like the MVP of DIY. So get it done and earn your Sunday. Shop now, in-store and online. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone. Passes does it again. Again. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied.
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won.
All right, let's go. We're back. Play Tessie, episode 275. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and rate 5 stars. And subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. You can find all our episodes in the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up. You know the drill. And find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. We got Cutter is King in the building today. It's a special day. Like, I know the Sox just got bounced last week by the Yankees, but it's a special day because for the 16th straight year, the New York Yankees are not winning a World Series despite having one of the top 1, 2, 3 payrolls in baseball. Every single one of those years, it doesn't matter. They get bounced every year. Aaron Judge going to enter, what, his age 34, 35 season?
34
season ringless. Cutter is King. How is your phone doing? Let's start there.
Yankees lose. My phone is actually about to explode. It's on like 37% right now. And I had to hold it in front of the air conditioner for like 20 minutes while the game was ending. It was on fire.
Dude, you got to try putting it in the freezer. That during trade deadline time, I'll stick my phone in the freezer sometimes.
Yeah, and tweets just aren't loading.
Eh.
But Well, I mean, that's typical.
Yankees lose.
Yeah. No, this is crazy.
Was tonight your most successful hate watch? Where does this rank in terms of hate watches?
No, that fifth inning of the World Series had to be.
Yeah. Had to be okay. There. I thought.
But I wasn't as big on Twitter then, so it was different.
That's true. Like you've gone completely nuclear. Like you must have. Were you even at 10K at that point?
I think I went from 2K to 3K that night.
That's crazy. And you're like 52 now, right?
I'm about to hit 53. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Jeez.
I mean, when was he on with us on the radio? Was that like June?
That was right before the deadline.
Yeah, I think July. Late June, early July. Yeah,
or right before the All-Star break. Sorry. I was at 23, I think.
He's basically doubled, more than doubled in like a month and a half, 2 months. Like that's fucking nuts.
Yeah, no, I've been going crazy.
Can I ask what's the best tweet you've received today from a Yankees fan? Is one that you can share on
like
our airwaves. Anything. Any interaction you've had with Yankees. What's your favorite? Or you could give me multiple if you want. I can't get enough.
The best of the day was probably what I tweeted earlier in the day about the win.
Oh, yeah. That was a hit.
About the win?
Oh, yeah.
And there was one dude that was like, I was looking forward to seeing how Cutter's King was going to spin this, and he was like, he successfully did it.
Dude, he gave you credit for elite level trolling with the wind. And they showed it on the broadcast, too. I was like, did they get that from Cutter's King?
Yeah, they were calling me crazy, saying, oh, that picture was from today, the weather. They were like, the wind was blowing the other way yesterday, and then they showed it on the broadcast.
And it literally would have been a foul ball. What was it like? If with just 1 mile an hour wind blowing in the right direction, it still would have been foul.
Yeah, yep, never wrong.
So my question, and Cutter, I need you to be as honest as you can. After the whole thing with Schlittler talking about his motivation and everything, were you a little bit nervous tonight going into Game 4 of Blue Jays Yankees?
No, because not for him, because I didn't think it really mattered because they just can't hit. So, like, I wasn't – if he shoved – I mean, he pitched all right. He didn't pitch bad. He just didn't strike anyone out. But, I mean, I could have went out there and did what he did tonight. But
you think he's hyped? The Bruins won. You think he's excited tonight? Is he in a good mood or a bad mood tonight?
Someone just DM'd me. They were like, you think his mom is going to make him walk all the way home? Or something like
It's funny because it's at the point now where like anytime the Yankees lose, I just immediately pull up Twitter and just look for the Cutter is King tweets. But as the game's developing and Schlittler is down, he's not striking anybody out, Jazz just absolutely butchers a double play ball. Like the momentum, this must have been, how many drafts did you have for when the game ended tonight?
Dude, it was 100.
I was just ripping them all. My phone, it actually wasn't going. And my brother was sitting right there refreshing my Twitter. He's like, bro, how are you posting so much? But I had them all yesterday when they were up 6-1. So, other than the Jazz one. So it was kind of the opposite today. Like today I wasn't even, it was a boring game. Nothing was really going on. And then it just all happened right at the end. Jazz made that error and then everything fell apart.
So I got to go back to Schlittler here because all the shit that he was talking after the game with the media talking about, some Boston Twitter accounts crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely referring to you saying that his mom was a Red Sox fan, which to me is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life, because pointing out that the mother of a player has Red Sox in her Twitter bio to me is crossing – it's not even close to crossing a line. It's not even approaching the line.
Yeah. It's literally just because I'm a big account. That's why it's a problem. I didn't even say anything directed towards her. All I said was that at first I said they were fake fans anyway. That was like 2 days before. And then, someone tagged me in their post of a screenshot of her account. And I just quote tweeted it and said, no way, but Cam told me, something like that. And then next thing I know, everyone's calling me. They were like, oh, this has to be the biggest loser shit I've ever seen. I'm like, okay. I mean, you guys did the same thing to Dobbins. Times what? 10. The New York Times was investigating your family. Cashman was talking about it. Yeah. But
the Dobbins thing was a million times worse to me. Like,
yeah.
And it's not, I'm not even saying that like what they reported was wrong, because obviously like Dobbins had to talk about it, but you literally like went after a dude and like his childhood view of his parents with Dobbins. And then this is, it's just pointing out that, yeah, like we know your family grew up like everyone knows his family grew up Red Sox fans.
It's part of his story. It's part of his origin story. And like, and you know, I've said it before. I appreciate Cam Schlittler for being so fucking hateable and such a just seems like such a dick. Like, but the Red Sox thing and his family being Red Sox fans, it's part of it. And if it's publicly available on Twitter, like, you know, I get someone being upset talking about this their mom, but like, it's publicly available. What are you supposed to do?
And all these dudes are like saying, like, oh, you need to know how to use. All right, you try to be 20 years old and gain 50,000 followers in a year, and just let me know if you're fully PR trained.
Yeah.
So speaking of 20 years old with 50,000 Twitter followers. So last time we talked, you kind of gave us a peek behind the curtain in terms of what your DMs look like. What do the DMs look like tonight? I cannot imagine you're getting a lot of compliments.
No, they're quiet right now.
Oh,
they're not saying nothing. Yesterday it was bad when Judge homered. When Judge homered, it was bad.
And let's rewind. What were they like the night of game three?
Yeah, that one I was going to say. That one I was actually getting like death threats because of Schlittler's mom. Like, I guarantee you I got more than the mom. I got harassed more than the mom, for sure. You probably did, Gordo, on that one tweet.
Dude, yeah, they came after me because I was in the replies. I didn't even like main tweet it.
Yeah. But no, yeah, that night it was bad. And I was like on the, because I was there.
Oh yeah!
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Did anyone? Because you took a picture from the stands, right? Did anyone figure out where you were and figure out it was you?
No, I didn't even. I didn't even post the picture from my seat just because of that.
Oh, okay.
Even like tweeting, like I was with one dude and he was a Yankee fan, but I was with him and he was just sitting there the whole time, like laughing, and I'm just sitting there, like actually just rage tweeting because the game wasn't even close from the start. Like it was just, but. No, yeah, no one found out.
Like those people truly have no idea that like their mortal enemy is among them. Like, and I've talked with so many like relatives. Like when I'll go to Yankee Stadium, I'll like wear a Red Sox jersey, and they'll be like, "You're doing that? Like, isn't that dangerous?" I'm like, it's not what it used to be. Like, trust me, it's not dangerous for you. If they knew who you were, it actually might.
Yeah, yeah. That's honestly, like, I don't know if I would have done a face reveal by now, but I don't want to have to deal with that. So there's no point. But
no, the anonymous, anonymity. God, that word.
Anemone.
The sea anemone is good. Keep it. Yeah, I like that. I mean, the picture is iconic. Every time I see the replay of, what was it, Willier making a catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Cutter is king. Next one I got for you. So Jazz. You love Jazz Chisholm. You're on record. Huge fan of him. Brutal error tonight. That's a play that you see, I think, most high school JV second baseman will make that play that he botched. Kind of a routine double play. And even if it's not a double play, you at least got to get one. He got zero. That's not good for him. What's your prediction on what he's going to say when he's asked about that play?
Oh, he'll probably just say, oh, yeah, you know, I made the play, but it just – took a bad bounce off my glove. That's why I had to change it out and grab a new one, because he did change it. I don't know if you saw.
He switched the glove. Yeah. He switched the glove. Yeah. Yes, he switched his glove. That's what I'm saying. No, normally, like, if someone made an error, I wouldn't, you know, harp on them for it because it happens. But, like, he immediately changed his glove. And, you know, like, I mean, you know the thought process behind that. Like, oh, I got to switch the glove. It's the glove. Just come on,
Jazz,
man.
Invert accountability challenge level impossible.
I yawn all day, every day, man. Come on.
Was it you, Sammy? You had the tweet, I think it was you, about the ABS. You were like, he's going to be the first one to argue with the ABS.
Yeah. I said he's going to be the first person to argue with the ABS system next year. It's going to be Jazz. He's going to get tossed for arguing with a robot.
Yep.
All right. So for the Yankees and Joe, we won't keep you too long. I know it's late. But just in general, as the king of Yankee haters, I think it's fair to call you the biggest Yankee hater there is. What do you see for their future? What's the outlook look like? Because they do, hate to say it, they got a lot of talent, but they got a lot of guys over the age of 30 on some bloated contracts and not much in the farm system unless you're a big Jason Dominguez guy. So what do you think the future holds for the New York Yankees?
They have no future. I mean, Jason Dominguez was Mickey Mantle 2.0. He played his first game today in like a month. I haven't seen that guy in the field. Actually, he was warming up at third earlier today. I don't know if you saw that.
Who was Dominguez?
Pre-game, he was at third.
Can't even play his own position.
I know.
That's like when Rafi was playing short.
Yeah. The only pitcher that they have that's younger, or starter, that's younger than Garrett Crochet is Cam Schittler. Like, they have no future. It's Will Warren, it's him, it's Luis Gil. People are banking on Garrett Cole to come back and be 2023 Garrett Cole. This dude is going to be, he's going to have a pulled pork arm. He wasn't even good last year. I posted something about how the Yankees get to face the Red Sox without Roman Anthony and then the Blue Jays without Bo Bichette, and Yankee World was talking about, oh, the Yankees don't have Garrett Cole. And everyone in the replies was like, Roman Anthony's better than Garrett Cole. And he was like, oh, I don't know, it's debatable. No, it's not.
It's not debatable.
I mean,
so
you're right. Ahead. He was not even good last year.
Yeah.
No.
And now he's coming off elbow surgery. And how old is he going to be?
36?
I think 47. But yeah, close.
So, Sammy, you asked a perfect question because I did want to ask Cutter about this. So, everything that's going on, the hate watching, the Yankees just throwing up all over themselves. The one thing about the future, Sam, you brought it up, that I am so excited for is when Spencer Jones comes up and blows ass just to see Cutter troll Spencer Jones.
Oh, that's going to be elite. That's going to be some of your best work.
How excited are you for the day that happens?
I don't even think it's ever going to happen. The way it's looking right now, I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, what do you think of his batting stance? No, dude,
they're going to trade him for Paul Skeens. You're right. It's never going to happen.
Cutter is John Heyman. You're a John Heyman burner.
Yeah, they're going to trade him for Paul Skeens. I want to see Connelly early face him again. He was like 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts against him. I think he was 0-for-14. In his first 14 at bats against the Woo Sox.
Yeah,
and I was waiting to tweet that, but then he hit a little like a low leverage homer, and then
low leverage merchant just after his mentor.
Well, speaking of which, before you ask your question, speaking of low leverage merchant, did Aaron Judge beat the allegations this postseason, or is he still a low leverage merchant in your eyes?
No, now he's just a singles merchant. Arias Judge.
He's a singles merchant and a wind merchant.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you can't like he bat flipped like the team wasn't down 2-0. And mind you, he tied the game. He didn't even like it's not like he hit a walk off. He bat flipped, did the double take at the camera. Like you would have thought this dude just hit the Freddie Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But no, the wind lucked him out and he barely got a homer, and then that was his World Series right there. But no, he's just a singles merchant now. But I mean, low leverage. He made that error in game two?
Oh yeah, when he kissed the wall.
That was enough for me. He has two errors in the past, I think it said 4 seasons or something like that in the regular season. And he has 2 in the past 2 postseasons. That's enough for me right there.
Right there. All right. Last one I got for you before we let you go. Just give us a message for all the Yankees.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Is king. Cole is king. Any Yankees is king accounts out there, what's your message to them after a night like tonight?
Just don't run. Don't run. I'm coming.
What did that remind me? I have one, just tip of the cap, not even a question. The tweet of the guy getting forklifted out of his apartment, and you go, in all seriousness, Cole is king. Hope everything's okay. I was at work today and doubled over with tears in my eyes. So tip of the cap, because that got me so badly.
Dude, that tweet got like 10,000 likes too.
Oh my God.
Deservedly so, man. So diabolical good. Work. All right,
great,
man.
Funeral day.
We appreciate you, man. It's a good day. It's a good day. Have a hell of a night and enjoy your phone. Hope it doesn't break. Stick it in the freezer, I'm telling you. But Cutter is king. We appreciate you jumping on. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
All right. Shout out Cutter's King for jumping on the pod with us. Like, had to do it. Had to do it. Rest of this one, we're going to kind of jump right into the off season, I suppose. Like, it's really early, right? Like, we're just getting to know, like, obviously we've known who's going to be the free agents for a little while, but we're kind of just jumping into that for kind of the first time in the last week, because I mean, obviously our heads and minds were fully focused on like playoffs, Red Sox making the playoffs, Red Sox get into the playoffs, Red Sox are in the playoffs playing the Yankees. And then once they lose to the Yankees, it's like, you're not instantly ready to just kind of jump right in. But I mean, now it's been a little bit of time. We've obviously talked about it amongst ourselves. We talked about it. Like, I think the Red Sox needs are pretty clear. I mean, tell me if you guys disagree with this. They need a power bat, preferably to play DH or first base. They need a top tier starting pitcher to slot in behind Garrett Crochet, and secondary needs that you do need to figure out a lefty out of the bullpen, because Justin Wilson and Steven Matz are both free agents, and you know, a luxury would be a backup catcher upgrade. Did I forget anything there?
I might argue another righty in the pen. Righty okay. in the pen to me. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you guys, do either of you guys think they need two starting pitchers this offseason, or is one front of the line dude enough?
They need one front of the line guy, and then like a guy you hope you don't see. You know what I mean? Like a guy who's in AAA, or a guy Sean Newcomb type.
Right.
Sean
yes. Newcomb. Yeah. Aside from that,
like we saw the depth. I mean, I remember talking earlier in the year. We were talking about what a luxury it is to have all this depth in AAA and even below that. And we weren't wrong about it, but it evaporated at an abnormally fast pace. And that probably won't happen again next year, but it could. So you do need a safety net just in case you see the same situation or something similar.
I've seen some tweets from people, and I disagree with these tweets that where they say Crochet addition, Bayo addition, and then I'll see like early as the five. Call me crazy, but I do think the Red Sox have enough guys, not even just like guys who could start games for you, but quality guys, where if you've got two dudes to headline your rotation, and you can hopefully trust Brian Bayo to be a third one of those, which he was for almost the whole season this year, that's enough to not just get you through a full season, but give you a chance to be one of the favorites entering October. And if it's not, then you can always trade for more at the deadline.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, I don't really Craig Breslow at the deadline. He's 0 for 2 in my eyes. But I think that one thing that's going to change a lot for me, and I'm not sure really where I land on this now with the elbow issue or the arm issue, is Giolito. Because I thought he was really good in 2025. Mm-hmm. I thought he was steady. He wasn't incredible, but he was steady. And he's a big league starting pitcher. So if he's back and he's healthy, then I think you really just need a number two and depth. And then you're in a great spot.
Okay, hold on. So you actually do think they need... Because I'm saying one... I'm talking about being without Giolito. I think they need to upgrade that spot. And I don't
let's talk about it. It would be Crochet and then a guy like, you know, Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore, Cease, one of those good, not ace, but close. Bayo, who's 4 and 5?
Okay, I'll read you the names that it could be. Ready? Because I'm on the 40 man. I'll just read you the starters. Cutter Crawford, Cooper Criswell, Hunter Dobbins, Connolly Early, Richard Fitz, Lucas Giolito's a free agent, Kyle Harrison, Tanner Houck, Dustin May's a free agent, Luis Perales will be in AAA, Patrick Sandoval will be ready, Peyton Tolley, and Josh Minkowski probably gets non-tendered.
Those are all guys I like, guys that I think could be successful, but those are also guys I want fighting for the fifth spot. I don't want two of those guys in the rotation. Maybe by the 2 months into the season, maybe, but to start, I'm being greedy this offseason. I'm getting greedy. I want more than enough, which is what I thought they had in 2025, you know, not talent-wise, but just bodies-wise. Now I want more than enough talent-wise and bodies-wise. So I think that if Giolito's not coming back, you need a number two and then another solidified major league middle of the rotation type starter. So I get if people don't agree with that. It's hard to not be high on Connolly Early or, you know, dream on what Peyton Tolley could be. But I don't want to be in a spot where the Red Sox are relying on those guys right off the rip, if that makes sense.
Pat, where are you on that? Curious. Like, because when I asked the question, I didn't make it clear whether or not Giolito was back. In my question, Giolito was not back. So do you think they need to just upgrade that spot? do you want Giolito to stay and they don't do anything, or are you thinking Giolito stay plus add another guy?
I would say it's either Giolito stay and another guy, or upgrade Giolito's spot and another guy. I think Giolito did his job phenomenal this year. I think he was a stabilizing force for the majority of the rotation, or for the majority of the season, sorry. My thing with Giolito, though, is he so vastly overperformed his peripherals. Mm-hmm. His advanced data is not good. He pitched to a lot of hard contact and kind of got lucky with it. Command was good overall, could have been spotty at times. Wasn't really striking guys out at a high clip. The fastball velo was kind of scary, I'm not going to lie. But he had a great year. To me, I think by default, if I had it my way, I think I would upgrade that spot and get a number two. And one thing, Gordo, that you kind of alluded to is all the options for the rotation. Ideally, in a perfect world, if they do get that number two through a trade, a little bit of that depth takes a hit.
Yeah.
If you want to call it a hit. So, like, hypothetically, let's say they traded, you know, a package sent around Toley for Joe Ryan. So Toley's not fighting for that five spot. You have a legit number two. Like, they're like, things are going to work themselves out naturally if they kind of take the courses they should to solve some of their problems. But for me, I think the big thing, honestly, is just, you know what Crochet is. You have a good idea of what Brian Baio is. It's, you can't once with 100% certainty say, this guy's rock solid. He's a three. He was great this year. But you need more certainty behind Crochet. And for me, that would be, well, let's just say like a Crochet, a number two, Baio, or an upgrade at three and put Baio at the four. And then you let, you know, whoever's left kind of battle it out for the five, whether it be Sandoval, Early, Toley, one of those guys will take a step in the fifth. And if they win the spot out of camp and they suck, next guy up. Like, it, if you have a legit four, you could live with, you know, a couple guys fighting for a couple of weeks for that five spot. But for me, it's just, it's so important to have a rock solid rotation and a legit top three that I think you have to upgrade a spot and get a number two.
The reason I push back on that, so let's say Giolito, and by the way, with Giolito, it's a mutual option at $19 million. None of us know how healthy that elbow is. But if it's healthy, he's going to turn down his portion of that. The Red Sox will give him the qualifying offer. And if there's even a little bit of concern on his end, he might even take it. So if he takes it, I'm still sitting here saying the Red Sox do need to get that number two behind Crochet. Like, that needs to happen regardless of what happens with Giolito. But if he leaves, like, to me, Crochet one, number two, let's say like Joe Ryan or Dylan Cease or something like that. Brian Baio for the three. And you've got, I think, four guys who have proven that they deserve legitimate runway and opportunity to earn a spot out of camp without, like, having to beat out other guys. And by default, they're going to have to, because the three guys I just named, including the mystery man, plus those four is seven. But I think Cutter, he is a legitimate starting pitcher for you, doesn't deserve to just get shoved out. Hunter Dobbins, I think, more than earned a chance to do that. Connelly Early, I think, way more than earned a chance to do that. And Patrick Sandoval, you gave a contract to do that and to push him out of that role before even throwing a game, as long as his stuff looks good in spring training. Like, you got to honor the commitment you made to him and give him a chance to earn that job.
Two things. First off, no, you do not have to honor that commitment. He has to earn it. Second, three out of the four guys you named, I like all of them, but three out of four are coming off major injuries. I do not want two spots in the rotation being guys coming off big injuries, regardless of how much we like them, how much we believe in them. Like I said, I'm getting greedy. You got to get more. You can't have two spots up for grabs. Who's going to bounce back the most? One spot? Sure. Two? I don't like that. This is a year that the Red Sox could legitimately win the World Series if they do what we think they should do. I don't like the 2-3 years ago. Sure. But not now. It's not for me. Not the time for that.
You are forgetting one name. Sorry, Pat, just real quick. You're forgetting one name, Richard Fitz. That's another guy I think has earned it.
I like Fitz, but I don't. Has
earned himself into the competition. Not saying he's earned the spot.
He should definitely be at minimum starting pitcher depth.
Yeah, I agree.
Like he should, and granted, he could be a really good reliever if they want to go that route with him too. And Pat mentioned wanting to add a righty. If you've got enough starting pitching depth, too much to even fill. Like if they've got, like, let's say five guys for an MLB rotation, five guys for a AAA rotation, you still got more. Like at that point, you could make Richard Fitz a reliever and he'd be really good. Pat, you had something from before?
Yeah. So I think going into spring training, I don't really see Hunter Dobbins fighting for that spot. He's a guy who hasn't thrown a game in a while. Like, he strikes me someone who starts a AAA, ramps up. I don't think he breaks camp in the rotation. I don't even necessarily think that he should if he were healthy. He's a guy that I think has shown some promise, but to me, he has not really solidified a rotation spot. Cutter, they might throw him on a rehab assignment. He didn't pitch for an entire season. I doubt they just ramp him up. So, like, those two, whatever. To me, Connelly Early is the one guy that you're like, he really should be, like, that number five in the rotation next year. It, to me, like, that four spot, if Sandoval comes, but, like, I'm with Sammy. Like, you don't need to do shit because you signed Liam Hendricks to be your closer.
But his stuff
that didn't
was
happen
way down
at all.
Like, agreed, he didn't agreed earn it.
I mean, Sandoval if looks great. If he looks great, then sure. But, like, I'm saying, like, nothing is guaranteed for him. If he looks okay and you're, like, kind of, sort of, no thank you.
Well, that's different.
He's got
to look
really good.
I'm just saying that Patrick Sandoval is not in a position where he shows up to camp, looks really good, and there's no spot in that rotation for him. Like, no, like, it is his spot to lose. Anything less than expectation, you can take it from him. But if he comes into camp and looks good, like, not like he's getting one of those spots.
I don't know. I don't. I'm not ready to say that yet. He's not a guy who's been. I mean, he's not great. He was good in 2022, but that was three seasons ago now. And you know, I don't know. I just don't think he has the track record to say it's his spot to lose. If I had to pick anyone who I would put in that class, maybe it would be him. But I don't know. I probably feel better about Connelly Early right now.
I probably do. I do too.
But right now there are two spots. The way we're talking about it, it's like we said, Crochet, Addition, Bayo. So right now there are two spots, and my contention is I think there should only be one spot up for grabs in camp. I don't want 40% of the rotation up for grabs in camp.
So we haven't had this conversation since probably this point last year. Of the three of us, I'm by far the lowest on Cutter Crawford. I think Cutter is fine. I would kind of
Pat,
approach
be careful.
Him.
We just had Cutter as King on the show this episode.
I'm aware. But to me, it's like, if you can kind of convince him to go the Whitlock route and just become a really good leverage reliever, you do it. Like, to me, like, rotation-wise, it's just, he's an inning eater. He doesn't really throw all that great. He has great. He hides his ball well. He has really good tunneling. Like, there's definitely stuff to like him, like from him, in terms of his arsenal. But nothing really stands out to me as like a really good starting pitcher. I think he's better off in a leverage role or a multi-inning late role. Yeah, like to me, it's still you upgrade the four and you go Connelly at the five.
I mean, Cutter. I mean, he started 33 games, low to mid four ZRA, but really, I mean, that was, he fell off at the end. Like, he was a legitimately really good starting pitcher for most of two seasons ago. Again, like, yeah, he's going to have to come in and prove it. But there's another guy that honestly probably should have been listed in there with those four guys, and that's Kyle Harrison. Like, mm-hmm. That's a guy who we talked about. Yeah, he's working on stuff last year, but like, once he gets to the off season is when he really gets to implement the full set of changes to his repertoire, to his arsenal, to everything that the Red Sox want him to make. And we've seen guys with other teams go through that offseason. And honestly, you can even talk about Quinn Priester, went through that offseason, came back the next year, and it wasn't with the Red Sox, but he was a completely different pitcher. And that's a lot of guys to have one spot. Like, that's five. And
good.
Four,
that's
the four
awesome
guys I mentioned, plus Harrison, plus Fitz, for one spot.
Awesome.
I mean, granted, it could be what Pat says, and you trade one or two of those guys. Like, I know you can never have enough pitching, but like, at a certain point, like, those guys are major league caliber guys.
Right, but major league caliber guy doesn't mean you make the rotation. I think that it's a I don't think we should be talking about it like it's a negative thing to have all those guys fighting for one spot. It's an, I wouldn't call it an embarrassment of riches, but it's like a great place to be if you're a big league team, especially the Red Sox, who for years, not 2025, but like 2022 to 2024, we were just like, there's not enough depth. They're bullpen games. Everyone's burnt out, X, Y, Z. And now we're talking about there's too many guys. That's fucking fantastic. I hope that all those guys fight for one spot. That's where, ideally, that's where you want to be. And I'm sure Craig Breslow, if you asked him, he would love to have more than enough pitchers. And Alex Cora would have than enough options to go to. I think that's great.
Well, the issue here, it's not that I, like, obviously, if I could sit here and say they get Joe Ryan and Dylan Cease, of course, I'd take that and run with it, and I'd be thrilled. But yeah, you have to understand that the Red Sox also have to worry about bringing back Alex Bregman. They have to worry about whatever Trevor Story's situation is, if he opts in or out. They have to worry about adding a power bat. Like, that is all. These are some legitimate, like, yes, the Red Sox don't have a lot of deficiencies on the roster. Like, their holes are limited, but it's big pieces that need to go.
Holes are limited, but big pieces need to fill them.
In my head, I'm like, how can I make this not sound like that? And I made it sound even worse than it needed to. But I'm just saying, they need a legitimate cleanup hitter, someone who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They had no one hit more than 25 home runs on this team. They need to get one of the premier DH/first base bats. They need to get a premier starting pitcher. Like, this is going to cost a lot of money, and I just don't see them trading for a Joe Ryan, signing another legitimate top three-ish in the rotation starting pitcher, and getting we can talk about the bat in a little bit, but getting Pete Alonso too. I just don't see them doing all these things. So if I had to pick two, get the good starting pitcher, get the power bat, and you've got plenty of starting pitchers who have all shown the potential to be mid-rotation or potentially even better right away.
Right. It's a good safety net to have all that depth. I don't think that they're only going to, and I know you're not saying this, it's not as simple as they can only pick two guys to add. But I think this is why I keep coming back to Giolito, and this is all contingent on his health. If he's not good to go, I hate to say it, but I'm not fully out, but I'm just far less in on this idea. But if you get him back, and then you add a guy like Ryan Cease, we'll go over all the names eventually. I'm sure we're going to talk about this a million times, and I can't wait for it. But if you get a legitimate number two to go behind Crochet along with Giolito, then you have Bayo, and you have all those guys fighting out for the fifth spot, you got one of the best rotations in Major League Baseball with upside, too. It could get even better. So that's where I want them to be, and this is completely separate from the bat, which we'll get into as well. But pitching-wise, I need the Bradfo special, pay for certainty, and pay could mean money or it could mean prospects, big league pieces. Duran might be moved. That could help you get a pitcher. Who knows, man? Who knows? I want to feel overloaded with options for the rotation right when the season starts.
So for me, my whole thing about the number two and then kind of upgrading Giolito's spot, they have so much depth across the board, kind of everywhere. Starting pitching, compared to 2 years ago, it's a 200% increase in depth there with some high-end pitching prospects. They have the logjam in the outfield. They have this weird middle infield, not logjam, but Franklin Arias doesn't really have a spot kind of thing. The depth there makes it very easy for them to go out and not only address what they need to address, but also afford the luxuries, which would be upgrading their number four spot. So you do this prospect package for Joe Ryan, who says you can't flip Duran for Andrew Abbott? That to me, that's not breaking the bank. That's just player for player. That's just how it works. And then with the money, you go get your Alonso, your Schwarber, your whatever you want to do.
Ooh, dude, Duran for Andrew Abbott. I like that concept.
That'll be a who says no in about a month.
Yeah, probably.
Love that, but, dude. That's a great idea.
It might have been a who says no 2 months ago, dude.
It did. I had something with Andrew Abbott. I remember talking about how great his changeup is and how he's undersized. And
you might have texted it. You may not have actually put it out there.
Did I? I remember we discussed it.
I know you texted it. We definitely talked about it.
We talked about Abbott. I think me or Sammy threw out Abbott. But that's what I mean is they're fortunate enough to be in the position where – yeah, they have all of these things they really need to upgrade. To me, it's starting pitcher, a number two starting pitcher, and a power bat, whether it be a first base or a DH. He's 1A, 1B. You need to do those two things, and one is not more important than the other. But like my point being, they have so many different avenues they can go down that there is no reason they should not do at the bare minimum those two things.
Yeah, and when we think about the offseason and what we want this Red Sox team to look like in 2026, what I'm trying to do is think to where we just were as fans, watching the Red Sox in the postseason. How will I feel with this team in the postseason? And in the past, I've been complicit in being a little, I guess, lackadaisical with, oh, this guy might work in the postseason. This guy could upside this, this, and that. And I think a lot of people do that, and sometimes that's okay to do. But right now, this is the first time since we've had this podcast where I feel you need to get guys who are not only good players, but guys who can rely upon to perform in the postseason. So when I'm thinking about, and that's part of why I pushed back, Gordo, when you said, when you spoke about those two spots in the rotation that those guys can all fight for, like, I want to be sure. I want to feel fucking fantastic in the postseason, because we all expect the Red Sox to be back in the postseason next year. I want to feel fantastic about every starting pitcher who's going. I don't want to be like, you know, Connelly Early did a great job. Not fair to him, though. It's not fair that you have a rookie in his fifth start ever pitching game three in the playoffs. I don't want to have that feeling. I want to feel friggin' great about whoever's going out there. And I want to have a, I want to miss guys in the rotation. Oh, our fourth guy didn't even get to go this series. He's going to start the next series. He's going to be fresh. And I feel great about that, too. That's where I want to be as a fan of the Boston Red Sox next year.
I think the difference between our thoughts is I think you will be there with the guys that they have. Like Connelly, yes, Connelly Early was a rookie thrust into a crazy situation this year. Like, we're talking about a year from now where these guys are going to be. Like, they're all going to be better players. Well, not all. Some of them will get hurt. Some of them, maybe one or two regress. But you will have guys that are better players a year from now than they are today. Like, you're not getting rookie Hunter Dobbs. You're not getting rookie Connelly Early. Like, you're getting whatever version they are next year. But to put a bow on this before we get to the bat, because we do have to get to the bat before we go, I'm gonna list some free agent pitchers, and you're going to give me your favorite one as of right now, subject to change. Obviously, we're going to have changing opinions as the offseason goes when we learn more about these guys. Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez, Ranger Suarez, Mike King, Zach Gallen, Lucas Giolito, Brandon Woodruff, Shane Bieber. Who's your favorite of the bunch that I just said? Just quickly rattle it off.
Cease, 5 years in a row with 200 strikeouts, him and Crochet in the playoffs. Ooh, give me that.
Pat?
Did you say Michael King?
I did.
Michael King.
Okay.
I love Michael King.
I think right now I'm on Cease too, but I've dabbled with a lot of these guys. Framber Valdez was on top of my list, and then he sucked and was an asshole, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I'll give you three trade targets.
Completely took me out of, like, entirely took me out of wanting Framber. That killed the Astros, by the way. Their season got torched after that. So, yep. No, Framber, douche.
Yep. All right. Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore, Sandy Alcantara, maybe Pablo Lopez, Edward Cabrera in there. I don't know. Who's your favorite right now?
Throw Mitch Keller in there too, I guess.
Ugh, no, I'm not even going to do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
He's a bum.
Yeah. Hey, it could be a good second guy. Joe Ryan.
It's a number five starting pitcher.
Joe Ryan by a good amount, and I know people are like, oh, his second half wasn't good. Buddy, his team got gutted. He probably had no motivation and was sad that he didn't get moved at the deadline. It's an emotional game, so that doesn't bother me at all. I am all in on Joe Ryan, and he seems like a cool dude, too.
Pat?
Yeah, I mean, comfortably I'd go Joe Ryan. I will say, though, the second half that Sandy had, I would feel a little bit more comfortable with him if that's the route they go. Gordo, one thing that I want to mention really quick before we do pivot. One guy I'm keeping an eye on in terms of free agent is Shane Bieber. They thought they were about to sign him last year. They tried to trade for him at the deadline. Like, there's something there that they really like. So that is my name, like, to watch. I think they'll be all over him. For better or worse, I think they'll be all over Shane Bieber.
And the Red Sox do that with guys. Like, they'll swing and miss trying to get guys, and then eventually, like, Jordan Hicks is a great example. Like, that's a guy they thought they had locked and loaded, and then goes to the Giants, and then they find their way right to the guy, for better or for worse. As for the trade targets.
Oh, I was just going to say, I hope the Red Sox have a trade for Teoscar Hernandez worked out next offseason, and then it falls through, just for old time's sake, just to almost get him for a third time.
Yeah. My guy for the trade is also Joe Ryan. If you want to talk about bad second halves, Mackenzie Gore also had a really bad second half.
Yes. I mean,
to be honest, like, these are both really good pitchers. Like, I'm not really fazed by either of their second halves. If you want to talk about their second halves, like, you can look no further than talking about Sandy Alcantara's first, 80% of the season. Like, there is no pitcher that I listed, free agent wise or trade wise, that comes without risk. Every single one of those guys comes with risk. Garrett Crochet came with risk. That's a guy who'd never pitched a full season. You hit the nail on the head there. You're gonna have to do it again, but a little bit less pressure, because you don't need this guy to be a full-blown ace. It just needs to be a dude that you think, hey, this guy has a good chance to go out there and win a playoff game for you on his own. Let's do the bat really quickly before what are we at time wise like 40 something minutes, so we got to be pretty quick with this. I guess I'll start it off by saying I think that there are maybe six guys, and we don't need to do a whole deep dive on any of them right now, but I think there are six guys that you could make at least an argument for the Red Sox to fit at DH or first base. And the reason I say first base is you can't count on Tristan Casas coming back from this injury being the version of himself that we saw in 2023. He missed significant time in 24, missed significant time in 25 with an injury that guys do not always come back from. So I want Tristan Casas to get a chance, and he'll get his chance, whether it be with the Red Sox or elsewhere, but you can't put all your eggs in that basket. So here are the six guys. Tell me if there's anyone else that I should add to this list. Schwarber, Pete Alonso, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Naylor, Marcelo Zuna, Munetaka Murakami. Those are the six. Am I missing anybody? No. I mean, I've seen people say Kyle Tucker. I don't think that's happening.
No.
Well, unfortunately, my first choice would be Schwarber, but I also think that is not going to happen either. I think there's no chance the Phillies let him go. So with that in mind, I would go Pete Alonso, and he's a very flawed player. Like, he's maybe the worst defensive first baseman in the league. However, 38 home runs, 120-something RBIs, and he posts. He never misses a game. So, it's not perfect, but Pete Alonso, like, you can't tell me that wouldn't be an exciting addition, and a guy who, you know, he fills a need. He's right-handed, too. That's big for me.
Yeah, for me, it's Alonso. I think the power plays in any stadium. Defense, it's like, whatever. Does he slide into, like, the full-time DH spot and kind of moonlight as a first baseman? That could work. If that happens, if you can talk him into a DH role, do you get Campbell in at first like that? My big thing is I watch Schwarber by far the most. The way that Breslow talks about his roster construction and keeping things fluid, athletic, whatever, paying that much money for straight up DH, I just don't see him doing it in someone like Schwarber. If he did it in someone like Alonso, who can maybe split 50-50 between first and DH, and that gets, you know, Campbell in there, or if Casas is healthy, Casas, because left, right, like, it lets you play around with the lineup a little bit if it's Alonso. One guy I would not fucking touch with a 10-foot pole is Eugenio Suarez. I saw
you tweet that, Pat. What kind of contract do you think Suarez is going to get? I'm curious.
I wouldn't give him 3 years, $15 million. I am so out on Eugenio Suarez, and I have been since he was originally in Cincinnati. Nothing about him appeals me, and I don't think he fits what the Sox need, like, at all.
Pat, he hit twice as many home runs as the Red Sox team.
Understood. Understood.
What's the difference between him and Pete Alonso?
Eugenio Suarez hits 220, strikes out 200 times. Pete plays more, plays the field. I would still argue better power, better average. He cut down the strikeouts this year. The walks are up this year.
He's had 49 home runs this year, man. I mean, that's a lot.
And he's also younger.
We'll see. Okay.
It's a shorter deal. I'm like basically where Pat said, at least for the first two parts of what he was talking about. Schwarber's head over heels my favorite. I agree with Sammy. The Phillies are not letting him go. So Pete Alonso would be my favorite. People, I feel like, think of Pete Alonso as a big strikeout guy, and he's not. He was 40th percentile in whiff and strikeout this year. And even last year, 30th percentile strikeout, 48th percentile in whiff. So, like, he's not a huge strikeout guy. The offense is great. I agree. The Breslow comments worry me about wanting flexibility with DH, which might point to Suarez a little bit more because he could fill in at third and first.
Yeah.
But having a guy that can split DH and first, depending on the situation, would be great. It's just a matter of if Alonso is willing to DH. To me, I think the money's going to talk. He didn't get the offers he wanted last year. Maybe he gets it this year without a qualifying offer. Last year, I was not in on the Red Sox getting Pete Alonso. I wanted Tristan Casas to have unlimited runway at first. But, I mean, this is a win-now season, and the Red Sox really can't afford to take any chances. Pat?
One guy who intrigues me a little bit, not nearly as much as the Schwarber and the Alonzos, obviously. Naylor intrigues me, because he's decent over at first. He had the quietest 30 stolen base season I've ever seen in my life this year. Wow. 25 home runs. I don't know how his power translates to Fenway, which is
the answer. I saw the overlay today. He would have had 9 home runs with the Red Sox.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't really solve your power issue.
Suarez overlaid at Fenway this year, 45 home runs.
And here's the thing.
Go ahead.
With the interest in Suarez at the deadline, he was on an absolute heater, and the Diamondbacks got next to nothing for him. Like, there's nothing to me saying that this guy is about to get a 3-year, $60 million deal in free agency. I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, if you can pay a good amount of money on a 2-year, let's say $45 million deal, for a guy coming off a 49 homer season, like, yeah, he's not a perfect hitter, but you need home runs in this lineup, and he gives you that.
So, Gordo, you kind of alluded to this, and this was a take I was going to save for later in the offseason, but since you mentioned it, I think that Suarez being 34 years old actually makes him more likely to be a target for the Red Sox, because Breslow, he talks about flexibility, like you said. They care about defense, as they should. That's been a Achilles heel for these Red Sox teams for years now. And Suarez is a guy you can give 2-3 years to, and it's not that long of a commitment. It doesn't pigeonhole you into, you know, playing him a lot, like all the time. And he can play both corners. He's not great defensively anymore. I mean, 2024, he was 83rd percentile at third base. So he's not that far removed from being a good defender. If you move him to first, I'm sure he'll pick it up in like 2 seconds. I'm sure that would be borderline easy for him. So
get him spring training to do it.
Not my top pick. Not my first or second pick, to be totally clear, with Suarez. But I don't think he's a bad option at all.
No, he's not. I don't think either. We're not going to be able to get into anything with like Murakami today. I would be pretty disappointed if Ozuna was the one they went to. I think that this team has earned the right to get a higher end option. We'll get to Murakami on another day, but let's get to enough said. I think, I'll skip Pat on this question. I'm going to ask Sammy this question because I know your answer already, Pat.
Ooh.
Sammy, would you rather give Pete Alonso 6 years at $130 million or Eugenio Suarez 2 years at $55 million?
Oh, Suarez for sure. Like, I think Pete would be awesome in a vacuum. I think he's a better fit. But just to not be tied down to 6 years of a guy and to have that flexibility. Like if you sign Pete Alonso and then Casas goes off, you're kind of like, fuck, we like could have put that money elsewhere. Which, again, it's not how it should be, but that is how it is. So we have to operate that way. Suarez on that deal, I think I'd prefer him. But again, this is not me saying Suarez is a better player than Alonso. He's certainly not.
I also don't think Pete Alonso is getting 6 years, but that this is just my way of saying, like, yeah, I agree with you, Sammy. Like, Suarez I have after Alonso, but at a certain point, if Alonso's getting better offers this offseason, my head will start to think about Eugenio Suarez. Pat, I assume you would pick Alonso on those deals?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone got enough said before we get out of here? Sammy?
Yep. I got a new pet peeve. This is great. I love to share my pet peeves and enough said. My latest pet peeve. Every single fan base in the playoffs thinks that the national broadcast is rooting against their team. And I only think it's kind of true if you're playing the Yankees or the Dodgers. Otherwise, like I people telling me, like, oh, they're freaking the Brewers. They love the Brewers. I'm like, they were one of the best teams in Major League Baseball this year. What do you want them to say about the Brewers? Or Yankees fans be like, oh, look at all they're saying about the Blue Jays. They're saying all these things about, well, they won the division and they're whooping your ass right now. What do you want them to say? So the national broadcast does not hate your team. They are not rooting against your team. They're just not your local announcers who have seen 162 games of the team that you're rooting for. And I'm so sick. If you go on Twitter today, I saw Mariners fans being like, oh, they're rooting for the Tigers. And then Tigers fans like, why are they rooting for the Mariners? They're not. They're national broadcasters. So anyway, just wanted to share. That's my latest pet peeve. They're not rooting against your team. They don't really care.
I agree. I don't think they're ever rooting against anybody.
Unless it's the Yankees. They do. It's a bit much. But
even like Doris Burke, I feel like, is not rooting against the Celtics. Sorry, Celtics
dude,
fans.
Nobody is. These guys don't care. They watch 1,000 games a year. They know all the players. Like they're neutral. Like them or not, maybe they sway slightly one way, but they're neutral for the most part.
Except when David Cohn is calling the Yankees games. That's different.
Or when Dave O'Brien is talking about Addison Barger.
It's true. If Addison Barger's on the field, just know OB's rooting for him. Pat, you got enough said?
I do. I didn't send it to Joe, but the post game today from the Jays beating the Yankees, when Vlad drops "the Yankees lose" with Poppy, is so good.
Elite TV.
It is such a troll job, because if you think Cutter is King hates the Yankees, Vladdy fucking despises the Yankees.
Dude,
they thought they were good. They thought they could sign Vladdy. And I know, no I thought way. They could sign Vladdy, but like, if he got to free agency, the Red Sox could have signed Vladdy.
I think we would have. Yeah.
Think about Big Poppy. Like, just take a second to think about it. His whole career, the hallmark of what he did was just dismantling the Yankees and beating them at like the peak of their mystique and overcoming everything that they had to throw at the Red Sox and then winning multiple titles, just whooping the Yankees over and over again. Then he retires, goes to the Hall of Fame. Now he's on television and he's still shitting on the Yankees. This guy is a generational player and a generational hater. And I love that he's not done. Like he doesn't care that A-Rod and Jeter are squirming on the set while he's going, duh, Janky, like six times. Like
Jeter's
like,
face.
Five or six times. Yeah, Jeter's doing this, like, okay, David. And it's unbelievable. This guy is such a friggin' legend. And I just, again, I love that he keeps doing it. It's never enough. And it never should be.
Yep. All right. My enough said. I know I did like a whole thank you on, was that our last episode? Or the episode, I forget how, have we done an episode since, is this our first episode since
two.
We got bounced?
Thank you, because I tried to do it too, and I could barely speak because I was sick.
Oh, you're right. Ago. And then you were, yeah, okay. So two episodes ago, did the whole thank you thing. But just another thank you, because this is going to be our last episode for a little bit. You know, last year when the season ended, we took a little bit of a break, kind of regrouped during the playoffs. We like to talk about, you know, kind of ways we can improve the show. If you guys have suggestions for how we can be better, how we can improve this show, anything you guys would like to see more, shoot us a DM. Anything, we're always open to suggestions and honestly would appreciate suggestions. But yeah, we're going to talk amongst ourselves. We're going to talk to the higher ups, kind of try to figure out, you know, how we want to go about it, the off season, how we want to go about next season, just, you know, kind of take a break to regroup. Cause we grind the whole season, man. And we love doing it, but it's exhausting. So as awful as it is to not have Red Sox baseball anymore, like it is a needed break for us when the season does end. So we're gonna take some time. I'm not exactly sure how long it's gonna be. It's not gonna be crazy long. Like the off season will come around and we'll be back on here. Like certainly by the end of the World Series, if not before that. But we'll take a little bit of a break. But just wanted you guys to know that we really appreciate each and every one of you guys that listens to this show. You know, whether you're just, you know, tuning in for one episode. If you're here just because Cutter is King was here, like, welcome. And we'll be back if you liked what you heard. Sammy?
Happy birthday to Cutter is King. He didn't even tell us it was his birthday.
What?
Just saw it.
Oh, you serious?
What a humble guy. happy wow. Birthday.
You kidding me? The Yankees get bounced on this guy's birthday. He literally can't lose.
I think, well, no, it's Thursday now.
Oh, it passed midnight now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Yankees season.
It wasn't his birthday when he was on the show, but now it's his birthday because
now it's his birthday.
It's late. We're recording late.
If you're listening on drop day, just know it's his birthday. Tell Cutter is King happy birthday. But again, yeah, just thank you to everyone for everything, for listening all year long or once or twice, whatever you do. Like, we appreciate the support, no matter how big or small. So we will be back. Playtest, we'll be back and hope we'll be better than ever. And hopefully the Red Sox will be better than ever. But yeah, till then. Remember to subscribe. You'll get that notification when the next episode drops. Remember to rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos. They're in the Playtessie playlist. And then follow us on the socials at Playtessie on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, appreciate Cutter is King joining as a guest today. Hell of a day for him to join. And shout out to Joe for producing. Thanks for tuning in. Gordo here. Peace.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
It's the morning of the most important day of your life. You wake up refreshed and ready for your big day when you look in the mirror and see the zit to end all zits. Stay calm. Mighty Patch Pimple Patches absorb gunk in just 6 hours and shrink the look of blemishes in one use. Leave Mighty Patch on while finalizing florals and you've still got plenty of time for full glam. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.